Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with your host, Calican CEO, Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Sean Claudio. Sean,
What's up, guys? Same company in the house.
Sean's a cool guy. We've already been schmoozing, and he's the CEO of Dallas Hemp Company. So thanks for joining us today, Sean.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having us. We're really excited to be here.
No, I'm stoked. I love what you guys are doing. And, you know, obviously we're going to be talking about your background. We're talking about Dallas Hemp Company, what you guys got going on, but also talking about kind of, you know, the cannabis prohibition, not just in the country, but also where you're located and how that pertains today and kind of the future of the game. So I guess the name kind of gives it away a little bit, you know, but talk to me a little bit about, you know, where you're based out of and what that means, you know, Dallas. Talk to me about Dallas.
Yeah, man, Dallas is a great place. It's a beautiful city. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of different, I mean, areas. You could be in one part of Dallas and be in a really uppity, nice area, and then go down the street and you're kind of in the hood. But, you know, you get that whole mixture of people. And I thrive off of it, man. I love it. I can go from one place to the other and just be comfortable everywhere. So, you know, I love being here. And I, you know, when I was forming this company, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it in Texas for clear reasons. You know what I mean? We're in prohibition and whatnot. So, you know, but we decided to stick here and that's what we're doing.
Sweet, man. Yeah. I mean, I used to live in Dallas and then we're talking about a little bit, you know, I definitely want to hear about your background and everything like that, but before we get into your background, you know, talk to me a little bit about, you know, you touched it on it right there in a second, that prohibition on Dallas, right? To me, it's always, cool or, you know, interesting to see how every single region, every single city has a different feel for cannabis, right? And not just like the general perception, but also kind of having your ears to the ground a little bit, right? So talk to me, how do people feel about cannabis? How do people feel about hemp? How do people feel about what you're doing in Dallas?
Yeah, so being in Dallas, it's kind of tricky. We have to educate a lot. So we have to teach people about what it is that we're actually doing. And so what we did was, you know, here in Texas specifically with prohibition, you know, you have the people that really want to try it and you want to, you know, they want to experience it, but they're nervous that the legalities of everything. So we have had to really build out a course for teaching people about this product and telling them that it's not illegal. And so, you know, what we've done is created festivals and things like that to show people that you can actually do this. It's something that hasn't been happening here in Dallas and, we started doing it. So we're kind of on the forefront of that.
Definitely. And I know, you know, it was one of the things, like I mentioned, I used to live in Dallas and, you know, obviously being in the Bible Belt a little bit, right? You know, you get kind of different kind of perspectives on it as well. Now, in that regard, right? I mean, you know, obviously, you know, cannabis for us is a nice big umbrella term, right? Sometimes I think even the South, you know, places where maybe it seems like stigma still exists, they've been taken to like CBD hemp products like fish, you know what I mean? But is there kind of like that distinction happening, right? You're Dallas Hemp Company, right? Not Dallas Cannabis Company, right? So is there that distinction or people kind of like still kind of like, oh, come on, man, that's weed, that's like light weed, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, there is. I mean, and I'm trying to break that mold, man, because a little bit of, I don't know if you want me to tell my background right now, but a little bit about me. I come from the cannabis space. You know what I mean? I've been selling weed my whole life since I was probably 13 years old.
Welcome to the club, man.
So, you know, I mean, for me, it was an opportunity to get into the industry and do it my way. You know what I mean? I knew that I didn't necessarily want to sell CBD because that wasn't my niche. But I knew that I saw a way for us to be able to get into the industry and thrive. You know what I mean? And then we had these other cannabinoids that I was already looking at that were like, you know, you can get high off of these. They have their unique ability to be able to produce the feeling of euphoria. So once we were able to start getting into those cannabinoids, then we started taking off pretty fast. So
amazing. Yeah. And talk to me too. I mean, so you start selling bud at 13, right? I mean, Talk to me a little bit about your, I mean, I started when I was, you know, started smoking. When I was what, 14, 15, started smoking. When I was like 15, 16, I guess. So
I'm going to give you the shortened version of my life, but, so I grew up in a small town in Indiana, and had five siblings, and, the only thing to do in that small town was make babies and get high. So, you know, that's what we did and we were good at it. So, by the time I was 13, I had already committed about seven felonies, broken into houses. I robbed a bank, was kicked out of the state of Indiana, at 14 and sent to Texas to live with my dad. And the judge basically told me if I went back to Indiana, I would be locked up until I was 21. So that's how I ended up in Dallas. And then, you know, obviously my little career of criminal continued. So my first day of school here, I was got caught with a bag of weed and went to juvenile again. And then, you know, that continued on. I ran away from home at 16, was selling weed as much as I could from 16 until about 18. And then I started traveling with the company all over the country, doing construction for Lowe's and Home Depot. And during that time, I was just meeting people all over the country wherever I could to find weed. And, you know, that blossomed into really awesome friendships and partnerships throughout the years. And then, you know, at around 21, I had my daughter and I slowed down a little bit. I was on probation. I got, you know, caught with a bunch of weed and was on probation for 10 years. And at 32, I got off probation. I was able to get my concealed handgun license and my, you know, growing license and all that stuff. And I, you know, I had already started a company that called The Staffing Company. We started that in 2016 and grew it to 1.5 million in about 3 years. Then we were thinking, you know, we need to diversify. And around about that same time, my uncle called me from Colorado and said, Hito, we're growing marijuana. And I was like, all right.
What does he call you?
Hito, you know. Hito. Hito lindo. Yeah. So he called me up and said he was going to grow. And I said, well, I'm in. And that's when we decided to start the Dallas Hemp Company. He produced about 18,000 pounds of hemp in Southern Colorado in the central region in the San Luis Valley. It's a beautiful place. A lot of spiritualism out there and just great. You know, I was so happy to go out there and work on a farm. And when we got out there, we helped with harvest and, you know, we produced about 18,000 pounds, like I said, and then I helped build a sales program for them. So we went all over Colorado meeting with dispensary owners and getting the product out there. And then we brought that blueprint back to Texas with us. And we just started the Dallas Hemp Company. Obviously, we started thinking about retail and we've grown into distribution and sales. So not only do we do distribution and sales, but we also do packaging, marketing. We do Canada dinners. We're doing deliveries. We're starting a new product real soon. It's called CBD dip. It's a cowboy dip is what we're calling it. And that's going to be pretty awesome. So it's a really good alternative to tobacco.
Damn, dude, that sounds good. I mean, you know, not the nicest thing in the world, right? But I'm all into dip. So I'd be down to try that out. But no, dude, thank you. First and foremost, thank you for sharing your story with me, bro, because that is like, to me, I'll give that a try, dude.
Yeah, we'll have to get you some.
You know, to me, dude, you know, I appreciate it. And I could hear kind of like, you know, having to recall the story and kind of that pain a little bit, you know, I could hear a little bit of that, you know, because here we are, you know, and I'm so passionate about this industry and I'm so passionate about like, you know, the war on drugs and all this bullshit, dude. And you're like a victim of the war on drugs, bro.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like, you know, where you were now putting the system at a young age based off of this plant that now people are like, you know, obviously profiting off of. Right. So talking to me about this, you know, and it's like, you know, put through this whole thing and all the other stuff you went through, all this stuff probably wouldn't have been if right off the bat you weren't sought it as a criminal.
Right.
You know I mean, and it's like, oh, I'm a criminal, so I'm gonna do some criminal shit then too. You know what I mean? Where it's like,
yeah, whereas that's exactly my point. You know, I like to talk about that because that's exactly what happened. You know, I was a young kid trying to do what I wanted to do. And, you know, I'm not advocating for children to smoke weed or advocating for children to use drugs. I think that's not good for their development. But you can see that I did pretty well. You know what I mean? And if they,
yeah, it's like when you're a bright dude, you're a fucking, you're a creative guy. You know what I mean? You got your shit together. So it's just like, it's just ridiculous that you, if you would have been in my shoes, you know, we're both Latino, you know, all these kind of things. And, you know, if you would have been in my shoes, right. Growing up in Calabasas, as opposed to in Indiana, probably would have gone so slap on the wrist, whatever, you know, right. Hey bro, don't do that shit again, all that kind of stuff. Or maybe even congratulated, you know, when you succeed in something else, as opposed to what you had to go through, you know, and how just to me, it's so fucked up.
Absolutely. I follow a lot of entrepreneur podcasts and podcasts and things like that. And one of the things that's always stuck out to me is that I'm spacing on the guy's name, but he said, if you want to find an entrepreneur, follow a juvenile delinquent, you know what I mean? Because they're not afraid to think outside of the box. They're not afraid to go against the norm. You know what I mean? And that's essentially me, man. I was a delinquent, but it was only because I had my own ideas. I had my own ways of doing things and it didn't agree with the norm. You know what I mean? And I always wonder, like, how would I be if I had grown up in California or if I had grown up somewhere else where they had therapeutic programs instead of jail? You know what I mean? When they threw me into the juvenile delinquent system, I was a scared fucking little kid. I didn't know how to act, what to do. I was fighting every single body because I was scared. You know what I mean? So it wasn't an easy route. It wasn't fun, you know, but I got through it and I am who I am today because of it.
For sure, man. I appreciate that, dude. And like I said, not cool, but I'm grateful to see on the other side, you know, what you're making. So talk to me a little about that too, right? You talked about kind of that struggle and how things may have been different, but talk to me now, right? I mean, you know, being able to benefit now from cannabis, being able to benefit now. And I think as probably move forward, maybe have a dream of, you know, more obviously, you know, so talk to me what it is being there where the system kind of placed you in this, hole, so to speak, and here now how you've been able to benefit from it. You know, is there still some resentment there, a little bit of, you know, whatever? Like,
no, absolutely not, man.
Talk to me about it.
Yeah, I look at life as, you know, one big learning lesson. That's all we're doing, right, is learning. And I got to where I am organically. I didn't get here. Nobody put me here. Nobody gave it to me, right? So I am very, very happy where we are and where we're going. And I wouldn't let anybody take that from me. Not my past, not anybody. You know what I mean? Well, I worked very hard and I was passionate about this my whole life. You know, I went through things because of it. And everybody that works with me or works around me is the same way. You know what I mean? We help people that come out of their rough times and we try to put them to work and say, look, you are valuable. You can do this. And, man, I tell you what, that's the most gratification I you know, could ever ask for. We just had our first annual Dallas Hemp Fest, man. And I tell you what, it was so freaking beautiful to see everybody out there smoking and hanging out and talking. And, you know, we didn't, our ticket sales weren't as big as we would have liked, but we did it and we pulled it off and everybody was happy. Everybody that left there left stoned and happy and friendly. We didn't have one fight. No police were called. That's what I'm trying to build, a culture. You know, everybody could look at me and say, oh, look at your past. You did all this stuff. Okay, well, look at me now. You know what I mean? And none of that matters today. You know what I mean? And none of it mattered then either. I was just doing my own thing. So what the problem is the system. The system is broken. The system isn't helping people get up out of these bad situations. You know what I mean? All they're doing is throwing them in a box with somebody else and saying, deal with it. And, you know, what we need is reform. We need systems. You know, we need to legalize drugs, first of all. And then you could put it into a space where people have access to it and they're not trying to rob each other for it. Right. So, you know, that's what we're advocating for. I've been talking to a lot of people about it. And I think things are starting to come around.
Amazing, man. No, and you're definitely a huge example, bro. And also I love that too, that you're, you know, I think, you know, it's one thing when we make get ourselves out of stuff, but it's, you know, giving back, right? Giving those jobs to people who also maybe society is looking at and saying, ah, there's no shot for this guy, you know, or there's, you know, why would you want to employ this person or whatever else, and giving that person a shot, giving them a hope, you know, and giving them a livelihood, giving them dignity, you know, integrity back, everything that was kind of taken from them in a lot of different ways. So I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
You know, you mentioned obviously, you know, how you kind of did this. Was there somebody that did that for you when you were first coming out that kind of like took you under their wing and was kind of like, yo, let's, you know, I want to give you a shot. You're a good guy and all this kind of stuff. Or was it kind of just like, all right, baby, let's do this?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that gave me chances here and there, man, but mostly I've done this. Well, I can't say on my own, cause I have a great business partner that's been there with me through this whole thing. But you know, we've done it on our own and he's got the same type of colorful history that I do. And when we first started this thing, we were like, you know, dude, can we do this? You know, with our background and all these things, I was like, absolutely, we can freaking do this. Let's do it until we hit a freaking brick wall. And then when we hit that brick wall, let's figure out a way to climb over it. You know what I mean? We don't stop, man. We keep going. When we say we're going to do something, we do it and we follow through with it. And, you know, and if we need to find a way around it or figure it out, we figure it out, because there's no, we're hustlers, man. We want to make this money. We want to get out there. We want to help people. We want to do what we're doing, what we do best. And there's nothing that's going to stop us from that. So, you know, you asked me, did people help me up? Yeah, they helped me up, but I helped them too, very much. You know, there was a lot of people that were like, you know, hey, I need this done. I would freaking leave my house at 1 o'clock in the morning and go do it for them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm that type of person, man. If you need something, you call me, I'll be there. And if I say I'm going to do it, I do it. And I expect that from everybody around me too. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to tell me something and you don't follow through, we're done. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how it is. So.
Cool, man. I appreciate that for sure. Now, you know, we talked about obviously your past and, you know, talking about, you know, I want to get into obviously Dallas Hemp Company, what you guys are doing here that makes you guys special, everything. But, you know, before we do that, I want to talk about, you know, the future of cannabis, right? You want to talk about the future of cannabis industry, talk about the past and how it's affected people, right? So what do you envision for the future of cannabis and cannabis industry?
Well, I envision a lot, man. So we just started a nonprofit called Giving Hemp, Collecting Data. So what we want to do through Giving Hemp is give. So we're raising money through Giving Hemp. Then it'll buy the product from the Dallas Hemp Company. And we want to give it to cancer patients, with the caveat that we collect the data that, you know, this stuff is working. So as long as they're okay with giving us the data, we're okay with giving them the product. So we want to do that. I think research is our next step, you know what I mean, in the future. And we need to make it known that these cannabinoids do have a unique effect on the body in many different ways. And some of those ways are by killing cancer cells. And we want to be able to say that. And we want to be able to yell it from the freaking rooftops. I also see, you know, I see big corporations coming in and messing up a lot of stuff. So, and when I talk about the Dallas Hemp Company, I talk about strategic partnerships. And by forming these strategic partnerships, when big corporate comes in, they're going to have to buy us all out, right? They're not going to just be like, oh, let me buy the Dallas Hemp Company. Well, if you buy me, you're buying my whole crew. You know what I mean? And that might be a catering company. That might be a delivery service. That might be whatever it is. They're going to buy the whole thing. So, you know, I foresee big corporations with all their money coming in and trying to take over and ruining exactly what the cannabis industry is. And that's the people behind it, right? Because without that, it's just a plant. But the culture behind it is what attracts people. It's what draws people to the plant. So, you know, we got to hold that line. And us, we're going to be a dying breed once legalization happens, because there's going to be a group of people that don't know what illegal cannabis is, right? So there's going to be a different feeling about it then. But right now, we've all been struggling through prohibition. We've all had some type of story. Every farmer, every person that I know that's in this business, I would ask them why. You know, it's the most overregulated industry. It's hard to get into. It doesn't make a lot of money at first. You know, why do you do this? Because they love it. It's the culture.
3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
We at Calican are passionate about cannabis and CBD marketing, branding, SEO content, and web design. If you are a cannabis owner and you know you need an uptick in business, or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us today.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of like what we've seen, right? We both of us have moved from the legacy market into the regulatory market, you know, and we've seen, you know, moving from Cali, you know, seeing all these brands, right? All these regulatory brands from people that, you know, they have a face of a celebrity on there, right? Have a face of this or that, but there's no like substance there. You know what I mean? Like they can talk about the culture, they can do this, but like the people wonder why, why isn't it selling? And I don't know why they keep being flops, you know, exactly. It's like, because there's no culture there. There's no substance. There's nothing actually there underneath it. There's no integrity.
You're not part of the community.
People,
you know,
can
what I mean?
Smell that shit, dude. People can smell that in the Instagram post. People can smell that on what you're posting, on what's going on. And, you know, and it's just like, you know, you can't fool, right? You know, you know, like we have a saying, you can't bullshit a bullshitter, you know? So a lot of times these brands are coming out, and I think that's what's going to happen as well with the, I think what we've seen with kind of these people who come in from the financial market and kind of coming in and trying to do things the way they've done every other industry. That's why they've been, you know, they've been the ones that have been fooled in the end, you know what I mean? Because
Yeah. And know, I think what they're going to find is they're going to meet a lot of resistance when they get
for
here.
Sure.
You know what I mean? We've been building these brands. We have our client base. We, you know, and not only that, but you look at the true brands and it's fucking art, dude. You know, not only are you buying a gummy bear or a chocolate bar, but you're buying the art that's on the package. You know what I mean? And when I walk into a corporate dispensary, I'm like, ugh, get me out of here. Like, oh my God, did I touch something? You know what I mean? Like, let me go in somewhere with a bunch of colors, with a bunch of badass fucking logos and labels. And, you know, I love seeing that shit, dude. I go to a lot of dispensaries and I look at their packaging, everything. Packaging is huge in this industry. So.
For sure, man. So talk to me now, you know, about Dallas Hemp Company. What is, you know, what are you guys doing that's different? Obviously, you're different behind it. We're talking about, you know, obviously the culture and everything that goes and kind of what you guys are giving back and all the stuff you guys are doing behind the scenes, you know, but talk to me more, expand on that and expand on the Dallas Hemp Company.
Well, the Dallas Hemp Company, you know, we started wanting to do retail. And then we quickly found that, you know, there's a lot of retail people out there and actually we know how to do it better than they do. So, you know, I was like, you know what, we should do wholesale. So we started doing wholesale. And then I was like, well, there's a lot of people out there that want to start their own CBD companies. And I was like, why don't we build a program to make it affordable for people to start their own CBD company? So what we did was we made a model for about $3,500. You could start your own CBD company with about 7 different products. And it's really simple. We ask for half up front and then half on delivery. We'll help you with web design, packaging, all the things you need to be successful. We also give you all of our education behind that. So what we've done is basically build a model for people to come to us and say, hey, I want to be in the cannabis industry. Teach me how to do it. And that's what we want to do. We want to teach people how to be in this industry and thrive. And it only benefits us. You know, we're into growing. We love to grow. And I want to grow people. I want to grow that love for the culture and everything that we're doing, because it's a beautiful thing. And I think if there was more CBD dispensary owners, then I think the world would be a better place. So that's just part of what we're doing with the Dallas Hemp Company. We also want to bring new innovative products to the market. We just started making our new chocolates. We're infusing them with different things like lemon zest. And you know, you're going to see some crazy stuff. You know, there might be a dill pickle chocolate. You know what I mean? So we're infusing them with CBN. CBD, CBG. We have a Delta 8 and we're coming out with a THCV chocolate bar right now. So we're also doing Delta 8 carts as well. And we're going to infuse those with some THCV and some CBN as well. So these are all different things that we're just trying to bring new products to the market. They're going to be cool and get you high and make you feel good. THCV is one of my favorite products right now. Ever since we started selling our gummies, the office production has been up like 20%, man. It's like we took the sativa out of the plant and put it into a gummy. So it's amazing. People love it. We're one of the only companies out there right now producing THCV products. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot more after this interview. So
love it, man. I love it, dude. So, and I love that idea too, about, you know, kind of, you know, offering an entry point for people, right? You know, I think it's something that people are looking into. And talk to me about the response that you've had for that program, right? You know, that.
Oh man, we got people calling me every day saying, you know, I heard I could start my own CBD company. We just had our first annual Dallas Hemp Fest and I kind of announced it there. And we're about to launch a mass marketing program on it. You know, one of the things that we're really good at also is visual art and marketing. So we, you know, my Facebook page is getting pretty big and our Google page is just off the chart because everybody loves to see weed and everybody in the Dallas area specifically, because there's just not the market here. So I'm in a unique position to be able to do a lot of cool things out here in the market and just help people get involved in cannabis, especially when they think it's prohibited and they find out that they can do it. You know what I mean? So it's pretty cool.
Amazing, man. Definitely. You know, like you were saying, you know, there's this overarching kind of stigma, but there's people within that, you know, culture trying to break out, you know, and
I think a lot of it is they're scared of the government, man. And isn't that a crazy thought in itself? Like that the American people are afraid of their own government, that they can't go and smoke a little weed or they can't eat some gummies. To me, that goes against everything American, right? Because we're all fucking supposed to be free patriots and all these things. But we can't smoke weed. It's a craziest phenomenon I've ever heard. So, you know what I mean? That's what we're trying to break.
Well, I think too, it's, you know, coincides with the idea that, you know, the government is going to protect me, you know, going to protect me from myself even, you know what I mean? So it's
kind of, yeah,
you know, it's like, tell me, you know, if I want them to do for me, then I got to do for them what they're telling me to do and not ask any questions on that fun stuff.
That's right. I've never heard it put that way, man. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you know, I look at abortion and I hate to bring that up, but you know, you can have an abortion, but you can't smoke weed. What the hell? You know what I mean? You can go out and drink alcohol and kill somebody, but you can't smoke weed. It makes no freaking sense at all, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, in terms of, you know, having autonomy over our own bodies, you know, and being able to, you know, so obviously, like you were saying, having beers, getting, no one's going to ask you, well, how many beers did you drink? You know, how many of this?
Yeah.
Other people are going to be like, oh, yeah, well, how many plants are you growing and this and that? And having, even as we move towards legalization, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, the people are, we're just kind of settling in, you know, to these kind of standards that have been instituted throughout the states that we've seen.
Yeah.
Really been working in general.
And that's the thing. And that's what I want to try to do is bring everybody together. And, you know, I know I'm just one part of this whole thing, you know what I mean? But if we can get out there and advocate for people to stand up against the government and for themselves, right? Because at the end of the day, this is all about being healthy in our own right. If you want to take CBD, you want to take these products and be healthy, you should be able to, right? And the fact that we're even tiptoeing around the government to get this done is crazy beyond belief, right? So that, you know, that's what I want to start doing. I think for the future of me, I see myself joining politics or something like that. So, you know, I'm a huge advocate of this stuff. And if anybody's got any, it needs any help with that, let me know. That's all I'm saying.
Hello, man. Yeah, I mean, right. I have a lot of buddies in the industry who are not just advocates, right, but lobbying and doing great stuff in government and everything. And there was a time too, like you were saying, right, I want to get into politics, and I was just like, yeah, I don't want to, you know, it's, am I going to change the systems or the systems that change me? You know what I mean? So it's,
yeah, exactly.
I step back. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm just going to stay in my lane and do what I'm good at, which has worked out well now. You know, in that regard, I guess, you know, you guys have been doing a lot of great things, obviously, you know, Dallas Hemp Company and the vision you guys have and that you guys are rolling out. I mean, I guess, you know, I'm sure, you know, talking about retail and blah, 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 and obviously COVID didn't help, right? But what's been the biggest obstacle that you face? Like, what's the biggest obstacle that you're facing right now? How are you able to overcome that?
Right now is money. I mean, capital is a huge issue right now. You're not able to go the traditional route, you know, to find investment. So we've been out there just talking to anybody and everybody that listen. You know, we have a ton of projects that we want to do. And obviously it takes capital to do those things. So right now, you know, we're actively looking for investment, but you know, we're making it by, which is good. Our sales are really strong. And, you know, obviously we want to be a big wholesale distributor within our area. But again, that takes a ton of capital as well. So we've been just doing, you know, I've pulled back the reins a little bit on all the stores that we were trying to get into. And I said, let's just focus on our brand. Let's focus on our packaging. Let's build this brand to be what we know it can be. Right. And then everything else will come. So it's been hard to just navigate what direction we should go. Right. Because we're in a position where we can go any way we want because nobody's doing it. Right. And we have the ideas, we have everything we need to do it, but we have to really just be specific about where we want to go. And at first we were just like, let's do it all. Right. And, but we've had to kind of slow down and just chuck away at it one bit at a time, like one product at a time. Let's get our gummies good. Let's get our coffee good. Let's get, you know, so that's what we've been doing, man. And it's starting to show. You can see it. It's looking great. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you mentioned some good points there, right? Where obviously, you know, there's still those, we're talking about legalization and everything and how banking and everything else is. So it's crazy in that regard. And, you know, obviously, like you were saying, right, everything one step at a time. That's the hard part about being an entrepreneur sometimes, right, is that we have these big visions and we know we're going to get there and we're pushing to get there. And sometimes it's just a matter of putting in that legwork day in, day out and saying, OK, cool, we're going to get there. It's going to take longer than I thought it was going to take. And it's always like that, you know, but it's just a matter of, like you said, optimizing, getting better at what we're doing right now, making sure that this is good before we start putting more stuff out, you know. So
absolutely. I mean, I always tell people, I tell my staff, like, this isn't a freaking rabbit race, man. We're in a turtle race. We need to slow down. Take it slow. Let's do it right. build the foundation, and then we'll explode. You know what I mean? And it's coming, and it's all happening so organically and natural. You know, we don't force things. When you start to force stuff, that's when things start to fall apart, right? So even though I want to be like, oh, let's do this real quick right now, you know what I mean? We got to step back and organically grow things. And that's what I tell my daughters. Like, we're all floating down this river and you're just grabbing things that help you along. But if you grab too many things, you're going to sink, right? So you just want to grab just enough to get you by. And then eventually you'll end up on the other end and you'll be okay, right? So that's what I've been telling my crew. Like, let's just stay focused, stay steady, and grow this thing to where we know it can go.
I love that. I love that analogy for sure too, man. So we talked a little bit about what you guys got coming up a little bit, but is there anything that we can expect from Dallas Hemp Company in the future that we haven't talked about already? What you guys got coming down?
Well, we're starting to do, I want to do open market cannabis events here in Dallas where you can come out and get a vendor booth and sell your cannabis products out in the open with everybody there. We have the unique ability to be able to throw events because I own an event staffing company as well. So the Dallas Hemp Fest was this past Tuesday and we freaking rocked it out, man. It was so great. So you can expect that next year is going to be 10 times as big and just as fun and happy. But we're going to try to do this once a month here in Dallas, where I want to invite all the CBD companies out to sell their products. And we can all work in the same space and the best company wins. Right. So I love to create a little competition between us, but also build those relationships with the people that are doing it right. You know what I mean? Because the ones that aren't going to make it. And the ones that are, they're going to be my buddies. You know what I mean? We're going to work together. We're going to have a fruitful relationship. So.
Oh, man, for sure. Dude. A lot of good stuff in those partnerships. And that's what makes us all stronger for sure. You know, so, dude, you know, before I let you go, you know, as we close down, you know, one of the main things that always interests me, right? And people come from all different walks of life and different experiences. And I love your experience hearing about it, you know, true entrepreneur, leader, all this kind of fun stuff. So I got to ask, man, you know, how do you define success, right? Whether professionally, personally, spiritually, otherwise, right? What does success look like for you?
Dang, dude, that's a good question, man. Because, you know, I don't value money like everybody else does. I need it. We all need it. I value friendships. I value love. I value the personal relationships I have in my life. And I'm the most successful person I've ever met. You know what I mean? Because I have a loving family and all my friends around me are the people that I call friends are true friends, I believe. And, you know, that's how I measure my success is the love that I share and that people give back to me. You know what I mean? That means everything to me. And I could die penniless as long as I have the love and the feeling that I get every single day when I go home and see my kids or see my family or my friends are, you know, struggling and I help them out and they're happy. You know, I mean, that just to me is everything. And, you know, that's just my opinion, but yeah.
I love that, man. And that's why I always ask that question, because you always hear all kinds of things and, you know, everybody's got a different definition of what drives them, you know, and I'm always about, you know, what drives people, especially successful people, right? I mean, everybody who's coming on is already successful. So it's always funny to hear what people have. And some people do talk about money and some people don't talk about money. And some people talk about, you know, spiritual concepts. Some people talk about this and that, but I love what you said, right? You're already the most successful person you ever met. I love that, dude. And I think everybody should have that kind of mentality. I think that's mentality that drives,
hey, you know, I've thought about that long and hard, man. It's been a question that has rolled through my head. Like, am I successful? And then I started having a measure. And, you know, when we started our staffing company, I was like, man, let's not worry about the money. Let's build this thing right. Let's be customer service oriented and just build a family. Right. And then the money came after that. So I'm a firm believer and I am a spiritual person. I love spirituality and with the main spirit that I love is love. You know what I mean? And that's what we're trying to spread. So.
For sure, dude. I appreciate that for sure. And, you know, success is, I don't know. I'm just at a loss for words. Cause I was, that was really profound for sure. And like I said, you know, if everybody just had that idea, you know, I would say, right. Look, we live an amazing life. We're able bodied. What a great gift. You know, what a great gift that, you know, we work in this amazing industry that we're passionate about. We're going to do shit that we love every single day, day in, day out. And like you said, family, you know, friends, people that we can trust, everything like that. And, you know, it's incredible. I wish everybody, if the whole world had that kind of mentality, we wouldn't really need to be here. Right. You know, part of that.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. I always say, you know, especially being an entrepreneur, right. You're going to have a lot of failure. But you want to make sure that you're in, and to be successful, you want to have more wins than you do fails. So, you know, if you're out there struggling and you're failing every single time, maybe it's time to choose another path. But if you're out there winning 90% of the time and you have 10% of losses, you're going to have that. You know what I mean? But just keep your head up and keep the people that love you around you, man. Cause you know, that's how you're going to get through that.
I love it. I love it.
Cool, man. Well, as we close, how can listeners find out more about Dallas Hemp Company, buy your products, connect with you, maybe sign up for that program you guys got, everything else you guys got going on?
Absolutely. You can visit our website at DallasHempCo.net. That's Dallas Hemp, HEMPCO.net. Or you can give me a call at 214-773-9444. Or you can email my assistant at Brittany, Brittany, at DallasHempCo.net.
Sweet, dude. Sean, I appreciate you, bro. It's been amazing.
All right, man.
Chat. You know, so thanks for jumping on. And thanks, everybody, for listening, wherever you're listening. Appreciate all of you. And, dude, good luck to you and the rest of the year and beyond.
All right, man. I can't wait to come out to Calabasas and meet you sometime. I'll give you an air fist bump there. But, yeah, I appreciate it, man. It was nice chatting with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Dank Discussions. We are so grateful for each and every one of you. Please make sure you subscribe and leave a review. We want to continue making dank content you want to hear, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's grow@calacann.com. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter for our latest updates.